Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Nico Horner, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Nico?
I'm good. It's a great way to start the week.
Come on, cheer louder than that. He's hitting 355 in his last 23 games.
Look at this guy.
What the hell?
Come on, man. I like the hype.
No applause, huh? Come on. Get it working in here, right?
Folks are trying to eat, man. Let them be.
They're going to the playoffs for the first time since 20.
That's true. One more time.
If you didn't do what you currently do for a living, Nico Horner, what would you do?
I honestly never had another job I wanted. I feel like I randomly would like enjoy doing architecture or something. But let's just go with that.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Did you like take the architecture tour in Chicago?
No, I actually never have.
Oh, man!
What are you doing? I'm
really disappointed.
If I were to choose a team to win the Super Bowl at this point, it would be the Bears.
One of us, we accept that one of us. You will not a one of us. We accept that one of us.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Nico Horner survived midday show initiation yesterday. Congratulations, Nico. One of us. Your next job is to somehow try to go to that 6-3 Bears Seahawks game that Ian Happ went to last year.
Don't make him do that. That is not
That's
nice.
That's the test of a real, real one. Ian Happ still has more Bears on the Grody scale.
Yes, he does, because Ian Happ's a real one.
If you sit through a 6-3 Bears game in December, all of you, anybody who's listening who is there, you get more Bears. I'm pretty sure of that. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. Mark will be with us at 125 from Hallis Hall. We are on 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. We also have our video team. You can watch us on Twitch. Chicago 670 The Score is where you can find us on Twitch. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stetson, Max Curtis help us out there. And you can call us and text us 312-644-6767. So speaking of Nico, Ian Happ, who was on with us yesterday with Lawrence and me on the afternoon show, Marshall, what was all this "we really want home field" talk? Because I was willing to set aside the... Well, I wasn't really willing to set it aside, but I was willing to, like, believe the Cubs when they said that they were not happy with the 4-game sweep in Cincinnati at the hands of the Reds, also in the hunt for the playoffs. And then you have a day off. You're facing a hungry Mets team, and not just hungry for the playoffs. I would say hungry, like an O is in there. That's how hungry they are.
Is that a different level of hungry?
I think so.
I don't think I'm familiar with the hungry.
It's like strength and strength.
Oh, strength.
And like,
strength
yes.
is the thing I know, and I know that.
And like drinks and drinks.
Oh, well, drinks. You know, can I buy you a drink?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, if you put the T-Pain in the mix, if you're producing the word a little bit, that's how you know you're really into it. So we knew the Mets team was motivated. The Get Right game, I did not think, was going to be coming back after being down 6-1. to end up taking the game against the Cubs in the first game of the series last night, 9-7. What was all this we want to get home field talk?
I think the talk is one thing. I mean, obviously, I would like $10 million.
But to say
I want to, you want a pony. Exactly.
I don't actually. I live in a tiny apartment.
I don't know that that would work for you unless you had that pony in a stable, like where you take a little summer drive and go ride your pony.
The concept, you know?
Yeah. No, but it's the concept of home field advantage. What that would mean to you, what that would mean to your fan base, what that would mean for the city of Chicago, knowing in the wild card, you play three games and they all get played in the same place. That's what makes the wild card a little bit different in terms of postseason for everyone.
Also, let's do a thought exercise.
Okay. I'm thinking.
Since, you know, the last time the playoffs happened, nobody could go for the Cubs.
Right.
Like, fans couldn't go. Cubs Day playoff game. Doesn't that sound great? Ray threw his hands up in the air.
Are people even going to work? Are people even going to work?
Call off for that, man. It's the Cubs.
It's a holiday.
It's the first time in 5 years the Cubs have been in the playoffs, baby. Call off of work.
We can air elevator music or something instead, and we'd go. But that's the point here. This is something that that we were told was on the tips of the fingers of the Cubs, that they wanted that. We as a base want that. I want to experience a Cubs Day playoff game. Do you know that would be like in the bleachers for the first time in 5 years? Oh, my goodness.
I would like to do shows leading into a Cubs playoff game from Wrigleyville. That's what I would like.
I mean, everybody visualize that for yourselves. Now give that energy to the Cubs, because what the heck?
Well, here's what I will say. I'm shocked at what happened last night, mainly because it involved, one, an injury, two, an offense that looked good but obviously did not do enough, because the pitching certainly didn't do enough, because, again, there was an injury at the outset of the game. And so when I look at that versus you just played four high-stakes games, much higher stakes for the other team, and now you're playing three high-stakes game, again, much more higher stakes than the other team. So it's a matter of will at this point. Like, can you will yourself to whittle that magic number from 4-0, or are you going to give up what is now a 1.5 game lead against the Padres?
To bring it all together, how hungry are they for this? How much strength do they have? And did they have too many drinks last Wednesday?
Well, I don't think it's about the drinks. Everybody wants to call this, the hangover era, because they've lost five in a row for the first time all season.
Especially professional athletes. You can't be hungover for that long. But that part of it as well.
The stated thing from Craig Counsell about what they want to do next after clinching, and then the lineup that he put out there the next day, kind of tells the story that he was not just talking about it, but as you said, he was about that action, boss.
Yeah, he was being about it.
Yes.
I was going to say he was be about it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And so to go from that point of Craig Counsell saying, what, you thought you were going to get that weaker lineup as I gave all my guys a day off? No, we still have goals to achieve, but yet they haven't won a game since then.
Also, history dictates that when the Cubs do need an offensive boost, Cincinnati is usually a place where they can get it. So all of that said, I didn't want to come in here today and talk about that four-game sweep again. But when you put it together with the A day off, where hopefully you had gotten a break.
A little reset.
And then Ian Happ brought this up with us because he was on with us on the afternoon since you guys had Nico.
All that swapping.
The travel was an issue for them. Like, it did factor in. That was a 10-game road trip. They had gone to Atlanta or played Atlanta briefly, and that broke up, you know, the other part of a pretty road-heavy schedule for them. All of that makes sense. You know, it made sense. Okay, go out there and then beat the Mets. Step right up and beat the Mets, because it's essentially somewhat of a playoff training ground for you. That's a good way to break in to what could be an NL wildcard scenario. But unfortunately, a 6-1 lead wasn't enough. So let's go back and listen to what the Cubs told us about how important it was to try to get that home field. Let's start with Ian Happ talking about it. If you missed that, because he was on a different time slot with Lawrence and me yesterday.
What advice do you have for younger players who are going to experience playoff Wrigley for the first time?
Yeah, I think just take it all in. It's so special. I mean, this place, Chicago, the city, when a team's in the playoffs, the buzz, but also just Wrigley Field itself, the atmosphere, the fan base, and just like it is. We're very lucky to get to experience 40,000 people on a regular basis, but when it's a playoff atmosphere, when it's that crisp fall day, and it's rocking, like, there's not quite anything like it. And that was kind of the biggest message, was like, we need to host games at Wrigley. Like, we need to host this wild card series at Wrigley and feel that. And I think that that's kind of, you know, that's our mission over the next six games, is to lock that in.
That sounded like a man who was hungry.
Picture it. He did the visualization with us. That's what happened.
And I think everybody knows what that picture looks like, and also that someone stole that picture out of the house, and now they're looking to hang another one up, if you will, because it's been so long since we've had fans in the stands.
Well, and also they haven't been playing like it. When you, just like you said, that was the first five-game losing streak all season. That is not what you want on September 24th. Like, after the day ends on the 23rd of September. That is the exact opposite of what you want to be doing at this time of the year. And frankly, if there's another team to teach you the lesson, and I'm sorry, Robbie, but that catastrophic loss last night by the Tigers. Like, if there's, you don't want to be that. Like, you don't want to be like, how's it going, guys? Ah, they're locked and loaded. Next thing you know, there's a deep snap by Tarik Skubal. Like, that's the picture you don't want going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night with Cade Horton on the mound for the Cubs and Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Tigers, and the way they kind of simultaneously combusted, if you will. I think for the Cubs, there's still time, right? There's, like, if they just win today, like right now, they just need a win. Forget about like putting together two or three wins, but certainly the week before the season ends is not when you want to be playing what is categorically, we can say is their worst stretch of the season.
Yeah, yeah. When
the numbers bear it out.
When you lose five straight, that's pretty hard to argue against. But they told us they wanted to play at home, and that was something that was top of mind. Nico Horner told you guys that yesterday over at Brick House Tavern.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, but doing it at home is really, you know, something that we've emphasized. We've emphasized from the beginning of the year the importance of just embracing Wrigley as a unique place, as a place that's an advantage to us, a place that has randomness and wild games and weird conditions that other places don't have, and really treating that as our home and a place that, you know, we feel like we always have an advantage if we're playing here. And so being able to play in the playoffs here is even more so.
And then if you don't believe him, a week ago at this time, after the party, or perhaps during, Craig Counsell talked about the importance of it.
We talked to the team, you know, right before we started celebrating, is the number one goal kind of moving forward. The next one in front of us is playing our first playoff game at Wrigley in front of our fans. And we're on our way to that, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that happens.
We're on our way to that, plainly stated as a goal by Craig Counsell. I don't think he thought at that point that they wouldn't have a win almost a week later.
6 days later. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I like this point from 815, the texter. Nico is definitely playing like he wants to play a playoff game at home. And yes, I can certainly agree with that, especially when you get out to a 6-1 lead. Nico yesterday, 3-for-5, 4 runs scored, an RBI as well, and only one strikeout. His average is .302.
Climbing.
To have a .300 hitter.
Climbing.
Such a nice thing to say.
And not only is his average up, but obviously by way of average, the on-base, and by way of on-base, the OPS, the on-base plus slugging. You know, his OPS is up to .747 now. It's ticking right behind, like, Pete Kerr-Armstrong, Ian Happ. It's above a lot of other guys in the lineup. He has been their best hitter now, I guess I could say, since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely make that argument, and I think the numbers bear it out. And at the end of the day, so does your average. And even if you just look at the box score, if you don't look at the score, which is impossible because it was 9-7, but if you just take a look at the lineup and the construction, you want your .302 guy at the top. Like that's how you get it done. I mean, that's very impressive work out of Nico, especially when you consider the hitting profile as well. I liked it yesterday, you know, Hap, Suzuki, and then Carson Kelly, and then the swaps for Santana, you know, originally in there, and then Michael Bush. But unfortunately, like, a lot of this falls on the pitching, of course, and what happened with Cade Horton. We're going to get into that a little bit next, but we had to start with just the simple concept of, we're talking about a team on a five-game losing streak here when this is a series that really can help you figure out who you need to be. Coming up next week in the wild card. And frankly, let's look at the weekend series too while we're here. You don't want this extending into St. Louis, where that's a team who actually, if there was a great way for the Cardinals, if you're looking at it from their standpoint, to finish out a season, mess with your rival at their place. You know, that element of petty is definitely on the minds of people trying to play for next season.
You're hoping you don't get there where, let's say it's Saturday, and they're still in this battle for the top wild card spot. You're hoping that's done, because what that can also do is give you maybe a couple of days off for guys who need it, right? Guys shouldn't have to be playing Sunday in this state where if the stakes are win the game or else you've got to go travel for the wild card.
Yeah.
That is a bad spot to be in on a Sunday.
I also agree with this. And this was, I felt like it was a big aspect of it too. And frankly, when you hear the announcement about the ABS system coming to baseball next year, it's very top of mind. 708 says last night's game was a tough watch. The home plate ump made a huge mistake that set up the 2-run homer from Alvarez. And he's right. That's exactly what happened there. Francisco Alvarez was able to get extra life in what should have been the end of the out, like the end of the at bat.
Umpire gave that man CPR.
That one extra, because it was on the outside, but the ball was clearly in the strike zone, enough of it to where it should have counted as a strike, and instead it was ruled a ball, and then the next pitch, Alvarez sends it out of the park. That ends up being one of the difference makers in the game.
No, I think breathing life into him is, I mean, he gave him the old like take your time resuscitation, because he was dead man walking, and he went from that to the hero of the guy. Wait, can we talk about his home run trot, by the way? Francisco Alvarez, was he feeling it, or was he feeling it
hungry?
Look,
that's, I mean, they were,
and he rounded the bases like a man who had just ate. He had a good meal. That at bat had fed him.
You, like we said last week about the Bears, who had given up two Offensive Player of the Week awards on their watch. You don't want to be the get-right game.
And listen, that's the kind of situation that the Cubs are in, because they now have to face teams that, well, not St. Louis, but obviously they're not going to be able to just put away a team easily these next two games.
Well,
the Mets know they need this. They're back in the driver's seat now because the Reds are out here making not great decisions with how they use their starting pitchers, the better ones. But overall, you look at the situation and you're like, they're not going to really get a break. And by the time they do, if they even split these next two games, it may be a situation where they have to win the next three games just to stay in spot. The magic number is 4. That number is going to stay at 4, it looks like, because the Padres are handling business. They threw a shutout against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, and that game, it's a 4 o'clock game today to watch for there. Reds lost to the Pirates last night by a final of 4-2.
I want to tell people, Layla, that we're going to be out and about tomorrow.
We are. We're going to be outside again.
Join the Score in Budweiser tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m., at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Our show will be at that special time of 2 to 6 because Spiegel and Holmes, Show Swap, are 10 to 2 tomorrow because they got to catch flights to Vegas. So stop by to register to win special prizing from Budweiser and say hello to Layla, Mark Grody, and me before the Cubs game. That's tomorrow at 2 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. It's all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud is for you.
Yeah, come say hi to us. And in the meantime, let's talk about some of the concerns about the Cubs. You don't give up a 6-1 lead without there being some chaos, and unfortunately, that's what happened. The guy who we've talked about a ton, Cade Horton, is now in a precarious position. We examine how injured he is and how that affects the team, not just this week, but possibly next. We'll do that next on Raheem Harrison Grody on the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now, something that's come up here right now. Michael Soroka is throwing in the Cubs bullpen. Horton has been outstanding through the first three innings. You would not have him warming up if he wasn't coming into the game.
We'll have to see what the deal is there with Cade Horton.
Yeah, unfortunately, as you just heard Pat and Ron tell you right here on 670 The Score, the situation with Cade Horton last night was not good. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score talking about how the Cubs were up 6-1. But unfortunately, lose 9-7 to the Mets in the first game of the series last night. And I want to wrap up something that we talked about earlier. In case you needed another heat check, let's go over the Cubs' record by month since June. 13-13. July, they were 14-10.
Yay!
That's good for a .583 clip that month. August, 15-14. And September, 10-10.
So they could have winning records in three straight months if they just figure it out over the next five games.
But to go 500, 583, 517, and then 500, oof. That doesn't give me as much confidence as I had after the month of May for this team. And unfortunately, another thing that doesn't give me confidence is Cade Horton leaves the game. The guy you thought was going to be the ace for the playoffs leaves the game after only three innings. Gave up two hits, one run. It was earned. He threw two strikeouts, but unfortunately, and a home run to boot, by the way. But unfortunately, you knew something was off. And that's what we later found out during the game. Cade Horton pulled because of a back issue that is related to illness. Let's listen to what Craig Counsell had to say about it.
Cade was sick this week. We've had a couple guys sick, and he was coughing a lot. He noticed the symptoms kind of Sunday, Monday-ish, no effect throwing. And it just started to tighten up a little bit, so we pulled the plug on it. Then we're just going to have to evaluate it moving forward.
Symptoms of the tightness before? Is that what you meant?
He had a little, no symptoms throwing. He threw his bullpen. He threw yesterday. No symptoms throwing. He just had a little symptoms on deep breaths. Likely just the illness has caused him to cough, has been coughing a lot. That may be it. I think that's what we feel like it probably is. And we wanted to, we wanted to be extra careful during the start tonight. So we stopped it.
So it sounds precautionary from Craig Counsell, but either way, you can't keep affording to lose people when you've already lost so many. And we're not talking about a wild card series with Justin Steele on the hill, for example. That's not an option here. And unfortunately, Matt Boyd hasn't been as good as we would have liked to have seen going into this time of year, even though his playoff numbers are really good, as we know, 0.75 ERA in his playoff starts and four appearances. But playoff appearances, rather. But in this case, you were hoping that everything would be okay with Cade Horton. This is why they limited his innings, and his pitch count was always in the 70s or thereabouts, mid-70s. All of these precautions were taken to hopefully keep him healthy come playoff time. To have the illness take you down, especially for a guy who's listed at 6'1", that's a lot of area there to cover for a back, which concerns me. And when you take a deep breath, I'm thinking about the muscles on your sides as well. The side body, as they call it.
Obliques and all that.
Yeah. The accessory muscles. That's not a good thing.
That's how I think of them, as my accessory muscles, as I do my quote-unquote accessory work of things I don't want to do because it's core-related. And, we all need stronger cores.
But those little muscles where you realize you're not as strong as you'd like to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically, I don't care how much you can bench press. Can you do 100, name something, and you're like, I'm out. I'm tapping out at 50.
Yeah, or you just twist, and you're like, that was not as easy as it should have been. That's what I think about in these cases.
But looking at the night that Cade Horton had up to that point, he gives up the leadoff home run to Francisco Lindor, and the Cubs immediately get his back with two runs in the first, three runs in the second. Jeff McNeil doesn't know how to play second base. There were so many things that were going away. And then all of a sudden, the top of the fourth comes on, and Michael Soroka's out there. And take our group chat for instance.
Yeah, we were all like,
what's going
on? Hit the brakes. Like, why is he out there?
This is earlier than even we have ever expected him to come out because he's only thrown 29 pitches. And the uncomfortable anxiety that came with waiting to find out what exactly is going on. And you could sense it in the booth as well. And so when they didn't have answers, what does that make the layman like me, who's just an observer of this game? I'm not at Wrigley Field. How do I feel about it? And I kind of let those feelings take me to a dark place.
They washed over you? The dread?
I marinated in those feelings, so I had no choice.
So let's go over what happened after Cade Horton left. Michael Soroka comes in, goes an inning and two-thirds, gives up 4 runs. None of them were earned, though. Error, right? So that was part of it. And then we see, I got to get the Chris Kamka ruling on this. Is this the first time two Twins have both pitched in a game? Taylor Rogers comes in, goes an inning, gives up 2 earned runs. Then it's Drew Pomeranz. He does his normal thing. No earned runs. Then it's Andrew Kittredge for an inning. Doesn't give up any runs. Caleb Thielbar, not in the usual place you see him. He's tagged with the loss. We talked about one of the at-bats that made that possible. So he gives up 2 on the homer. So that he gets an inning to his name, and then it's Jordan Wicks to round it out. You don't want to use that many people in your bullpen. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that you had to use. You had to use 6 pitchers yesterday in addition to your starter. Again, not ideal situations when you're trying to rest up before a playoff run.
But that tells you how important this game was to Craig Counsell in his mind and trying to, okay, we're still tight, or we have a lead, but we got to hold on to this lead, or we just gave up the lead. He's trying everything in his power to give his hitters one more chance. But let me tell you something. They had no chance. Because what I saw from Edwin Diaz, I don't want to see that man ever again.
The music was playing in my head. You know, the Diaz walkout music?
Yes.
I was like, oh, Timmy Trumpet. There you are.
I didn't know he was that versatile. The fact that was his 6th time coming in for a 2-inning save this season.
And
five strikeouts. And it wasn't like 5 strikeouts. And then like when they gave me like the stats on Dansby against Edwin Diaz, I was like, oh, this game is probably over because he's 0-for. And I think he had, I think it was either 10 or 11 at bats, and he struck out 9 times.
I kept hearing that. I kept hearing this the whole time for 2 innings. This is in my head.
We were
just
not
playing nonstop. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. And I'm like, God, this is how they get to the playoffs, isn't it? Yeah, this right here.
It's going to be my nightmares all week.
Those pitches were insane that he was striking people out on. I was like, this man is out here. Like, he was out there.
You know,
there.
Gary Cohen's just cooking on the call over at SNY.
Layla, he was out there on more than a mission. You know, like, guy comes in to, like, oh, they need me in the 8th? I know what time it is. He ramped it up. You know what he was? Hungry.
He was in playoff mode.
Hungry.
He's like, oh, this isn't coming on me. You're not putting this on me. Dude, the whole time I watched him pitch, I'm not kidding, that was in my head. I'm like, great.
And so now you're left with questions as we talk about Cade Horton, his back tightness that causes him to leave the game after 3 innings here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Mark Grody, by the way, will join us at 1:25 from Hal's Hall.
He will.
He talks about, you know, what he's going through, Cade Horton, in terms of, like, it's a back tightness thing, but it's more than that because of you're now projecting out to when are we going to see him again? What's going on?
And frankly, he is the guy who's like, hey, you know, 75 pitches and I know what I'm doing. That made me feel better about the outing when he talked about how he got taken out after having at the time what was a no hitter in his outing. You know, he is the guy who will give you some confidence about where he stands in it. Here's what he had to say about being taken out early.
In Cincinnati, was coughing a lot, and so felt, you know, a little discomfort in like my rib area, back area, and so just made the right move. You know, didn't want to push it. Sucks, hate it, but it's the right move. In between innings, like my breath started to. Like, it started to bother me, and so just wanted to get on top of it early while we have time, rather than, you know, keep going and potentially, you know, harm the next.
preservation is real.
It is, and he is a guy who very much sounds like he trusts his manager and his team's decisions. Like, you're not hearing any sort of dissonance there when it comes to a guy who you're depending on. Again, probably if he's healthy, he's starting game one for you in the playoffs. I never get the feeling when I hear him talk that there's any sort of disagreement with the decision that's being made regarding him.
I think the other thing for him is, why would you ever have any kind of dissonance between him and his manager because of look how his season has gone, doing what they have told him that they want to do, whether that was coming out in that, you know, no hit situation, whether that was, well, look, these guys and their plan for me has led me to being the front runner and probably the winner of the National League Rookie of the Year award. That probably doesn't happen if he's just out here loosey goosey.
No. And, you know, we know what he's able to do in a College World Series. Like, there's some experience there when knowing what's on the line, you know, that gamesmanship and being a gamer, there's an opportunity for him next week. But when it comes to seeing how that played out yesterday, given the four games before it, it's a trend that desperately needs to be stopped. Another huge aspect of this is what's going on with Kyle Tucker. We got a look at how he looks on the game broadcast last night, and that is a topic that deserves a lot of time. So we're going to do that at 11:25, in case you're wondering, because there's a lot of sound from the clubhouse as well. A lot of people talked about it, and we'll give our impressions of what we saw to Kyle Tucker as we continue to figure out how he fits into this, and I hate to say it, if at all.
That's the reality that we're left with, especially if you saw the video of him running around the bases.
Yeah, so we'll get into that at 11:25. Russ Dorsey, by the way, just in case you want more baseball, is going to join us for the entire 12 o'clock hour.
Meet?
He is the Major League Baseball insider for Yahoo, works for Apple TV Plus as well. We got to shift gears a little bit now because the Bears do have a game on Sunday where, dare I say it, they could win two in a row.
Why'd you say it?
Because I wanted to say it. But I think,
and again, I could have $10 million.
It also could be a get-right game, though, for somebody the Bears, at least reportedly, really wanted. So we'll examine that next here at Raheemy Harrison Grody. And again, I think that Timmy Trumpet song is going to be stuck in my head for the next 6 days. It's all coming up on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, we're looking to piggyback on that performance here and go for our first road win here this week. You know, we're road underdogs already. You know, I think Vegas has picked to beat us, so we got to come out and have another great week of preparation.
And that is where we start. Ben Johnson just getting it out there to the public in his first statement on his Monday press conference, which I think has become really must listen if you want to learn more about the Bears. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Ben Johnson just telling people about whether or not his Bears are favored. And we know why he wants to use it for his team. Take it personally.
Yeah, you a little chip, a little extra dip on your chip on your shoulder, never a bad thing. So
no.
I certainly can understand him bringing it to the forefront. Out the gate, just start the pressure talking about being road dogs in Vegas where they're going to have a home-friendly crowd.
Well, here's the other part of this. There's a couple of truths here that we know when it comes to Chicago sports bettors and Chicago sports fans. They move markets. That's been a truth ever since legalized gambling has come to the state of Illinois. Joe Ostrowski talks about it with us all the time. He, of course, is on BetMGM Network. And lo and behold, did Ben Johnson give the Bears fans a call to action? Because guess what happened?
The line moved.
It did. So right now at FanDuel, it's still Raiders -1.5, but 88% of the money is on the Bears.
Wow.
ESPN bet had Raiders at -1.5, and guess what's happened now? 3-point swing.
The Bears favored by 1.5. That's crazy. That's a crazy line move in that short a period of time.
That's your home field advantage, for example. We always start out with 3 being the baseline. Not at the old hockey puck that is Allegiant Stadium. It is now favoring the Bears. And we know this is a massive trip for Bears fans. As soon as that schedule came out, we knew that it was circled on the calendar for many reasons. That I say circle is a pun intended, because you know what's happening. The afternoon show is going to Circa on Thursday. That's why we switched with them for our shifts. And they're going to be there all weekend. It's going to be a great time. So in the meantime, look what happened. The Bears fans move the market again. And did they do it thanks to the help of their head coach?
Well, here's my question. If the market is now moved and the Bears are now favored, does that mean he can't use that as the inspiration he wanted to talk about his team being underdogs when he addresses them?
Or do we again do a thought exercise, and if we're Ben Johnson talking to his team, we're like, look at this! The Bears fans believe in you! Do you believe in yourselves? And then you just point to something on a wall and you let them know that they can look inside themselves.
At anything potential. On the wall? Clock on the wall?
Anything.
Vegas has picked to beat us, so.
Look at this camera. They're watching you. Do you want to disappoint them? No. But I think the bigger point stands. Not only did the head coach throw it out there in a way that was deliberate, because I don't think he casually throws out a lot of stuff to the media. He knows what he's doing.
One of the things that...
But he also is paying attention. Like, it's a fair thing to pay attention to and be like, well, what's with this?
Later in that press conference, they asked him a question about something that he had said. And they were asking him like, oh, and he was like, I don't send messages through the media. I don't do that. If I have something, a problem with something, I just tell the actual player. So don't read into too much of what I'm saying to you guys, because I'm not trying to send a message through the media.
Yeah, I mean, I get that part of it. I think he was also just being truthful.
Oh, like, no.
I think there's a difference between being calculated and being truthful. And then I don't think we hear about anything before a player does, for sure.
And that's the part that's different with this regime than maybe past regimes, is that if you hear it as a media member, chances are it's been discussed at length already with whoever it is he's talking about, whether that was Tyreek Stevenson at the beginning of the year, whether that was Ozzie Trapillo. You can go down the list, by the way.
I've always kind of felt that way in general, that usually once something is filtered to us, it's because it's something that has been said at the facility a time or two.
Yes.
But when it comes to this, I do wonder how much power the Bears fans had in trying to get this done.
I think the Bears fans had all the power in getting this done. That when you hear 88% of the money is on Bears, you know why.
That's
because they believe they're going to win outright.
That is a wild amount.
But I think the Bears fans will do an even more important job this weekend, because they're going to be over 50% of the fans at the old Death Star. You know what they call it?
I thought Cowboys Stadium was the Death Star.
Is it? Okay, I thought...
But Allegiant, I mean, I'm sure it's probably referred to as that as well, but I think of it as a hockey puck. It's like a big, glossy hockey puck.
Okay.
It's tinted.
It is tinted. It's black.
Yeah, it has to be, because black. It's hot out there.
It's Raiders black. You missed it. One of our 500 questions yesterday, have the Raiders lost their mystique? Because, you know, we had Nico Horner, and
yes,
so he was...
Yes, I'm eager to hear what the answer was.
He was fully ready to trash the Raiders and their mystique, and just like, you know, they play here, they play there, they play everywhere. They don't have a real home, and now it's Vegas, and yeah. And so I just...
They have switched cities quite a bit.
I kind of go back and forth to who has the worst home field advantage. Is it the Chargers or the Raiders? And I go back and forth on that.
Well, the last time the Bears played in Vegas, the fans were out in full force.
And they will be again, because Las Vegas doesn't have enough people in Las Vegas to support a football team to that level. Unless you're like New Orleans, or I'm trying to think of another like small market. Like it, the percentage of people who come out like
Green Bay,
Kansas City.
Well, Green Bay's got the whole state of Wisconsin. That's a little different.
I mean, theoretically, their draw is similar, but you run into Arizona and Southern California on either side. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a lot of people gave up on that team because they moved. So yeah. There's that.
There's a lot of transplants too, as we know, in Las Vegas. You know, yeah. That's part of it. But it is a destination for people, and that's why I think there's a couple of elements that play into this. Number one, it's fun to say like Vegas has us at XYZ when you're playing in Vegas, like there's symmetry there. But then number two, we knew that this was a destination trip for a lot of Bears fans. I don't know that any of us thought that the weather was still going to be this good this weekend. Like you're probably expecting nice warm weather in Vegas, but this is a nice little fake summer we're still continuing to have here.
I will gladly accept all the fakeness of all the summer. Give me faux summer until what, January? I'm good with that.
Yeah, unfortunately, if I could have had real summer and, you know, pool, stadium, swim, where I'd be watching other NFL games at the same time, that's the goal. You know, that's the ideal.
It was
so there's always
we were
a reason
there.
To have a trip. But football season, watching NFL games, yeah. That's a different deal.
That's fair.
We're talking about the Bears and Raiders game coming up on 670 The Score. And Ben Johnson just acknowledging that his team wasn't favored. And I do think it's probably going to help motivate his team. After what happened the week before, go get them. But it's not going to be easy when you know that number two right now in passing yards in the NFL is Geno Smith at 831.
Certainly another challenge, and I think every week will be a challenge for this defense until they get their full complement of players not named Jalen Johnson back.
Well, and if you had asked me if Ashton Jeanty would only have 144 rushing yards after three games, what?
Yeah, as a guy who depends on him every week,
he's on your fantasy team too.
He was my second round pick at the end of the second round, which was a great pick at the end of the second round at the time.
Are you going to talk to Paul Charchain about this tomorrow?
He knows. We talked about it last week because it's
Justin
Jefferson,
right.
And then it was Ashton Jeanty, and then later on it was Joe Burrow.
I was thinking more about Joe Burrow there than Ashton Jeanty at the time.
I got a win last week. You know why? Because my backup quarterback is who?
Caleb Williams.
When do we find out about NFC Player of the Week? Is that today or tomorrow? Is that Thursday?
It might be today.
I think it's today. And we know he got nominated for FedEx Aaron Brown Player of the Week. I got that email during the show. How convenient was that?
Very convenient. What? I just want to conveniently remind you guys as well that you're going to have a conversation with Charch about extending Ryan Poles and extending the Vikings general manager.
Tracy Adolfo Mensah. Yeah, he did tell us to remind him about that. So thank you, Ray. That was
a good
call.
Producer.
I already reminded him.
Yeah, but in the meantime, how much more are the Bears fans going to move that line?
So I predict
move that
by
line.
Sunday morning.
Move that line.
Depending on how that injury report looks, that line could be up to 2.5.
Guys, I still have Edwin Diaz's song stuck in my head. I can't get rid of it.
I mean, hopefully you don't have to hear it anymore this season.
I'm set right now.
Well,
is he available today? Like, if you throw two innings are you available today?
I would think he's not available because he threw two innings. He threw two dynamic innings last night.
He threw two gas innings.
You know what that made me think? Why don't the Cubs have somebody like that? Oh, wait. You say Daniel Palencia is coming off the IL?
Hmm. What's happening there?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it with Russ Dorsey. That's in the noon hour. In the meantime, next we have to talk about Mike Florio. And I think we have to play a little game called, is this gaslighting?
It's definitely gaslighting.
It involves Tom Brady. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Next on Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.